Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Thank you that we can come to you, that we can trust in you, that you love us so much, that Jesus, you were willing to die on the cross for us. So, Lord, we say that we really want to be with you. We really want to hear from you. Speak to us, Lord, through your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. Now, what we just did a moment ago was a bit chaotic, wasn't it? But let's face it, that's what family is like, isn't it? Yeah? When we look at our families, we see that chaos. And actually, it's okay to have a bit of that. And that requires from us a bit of grace sometimes, doesn't it? When we think, oh. But actually, the thing is that, do you know what I really give thanks to God for? Is how welcoming people are here. And the fact that actually, what I hope and what I hope you hope too, is that when those young people that have just gone out now get to the age of 12, 13, 14, that they want to still come and be family together in the morning. Not because we're squeezing them and conforming them into a mold that may have been seen in the church, and let's face it, has really not worked recently, where we see drop-offs of young people, but where people actually want to come together, meet as family together and grow together. Because there's so much that those young people can actually learn about Jesus from you. There's so much that my children will learn from you that they can't learn from me. And I thank Jesus for that. And that's across generations, because they are our children that we are entrusted with by God to help to know Jesus. And that's such a privilege. So thank you for your grace. And so we're going to listen to God's word now, and Lisa's going to come and read to us. Thank you.
Matthew 25, verses 14 through to 30. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talents from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have been more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will not be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him out of the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lisa. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, the way it speaks to our hearts. We thank you for the way that you prepare us to hear what you have to say to us. And we pray that you would help us to open our hearts to the things that you want us to hear. Lord, may I fall silent, and may what you have to say be the words that are heard. In Jesus' name, amen. That doesn't mean to say that we're now going to sit here for 20 minutes just doing nothing but listening. There might be one day that that is the case. But in this case, just some things to share on that. And I'm sure God will prompt you some things that have happened this week for you as well, as to ways to respond to what you've just heard. So before I started my teacher training, I needed to spend a few days in a secondary school. I guess the reason for that was that they wanted to make sure that the course drop-off wasn't as high when people started the course, based on people's experience at the chalk face of teaching as soon as they went into school. And so I went to a school in what was a fairly wealthy area at the time, and I spent time with a head of music who had also been head of music in the school that I'd learned in when I was at school in a much poorer area. It was a boys' school, and I was really surprised, actually, but I shouldn't have been, at how engaged the boys were in music. They loved it, especially those that were studying for their GCSEs, who were especially talented. And so I sent them off to go and practice and prepare their GCSE bits and pieces that they're getting ready for their assessments. And I remember hearing something absolutely amazing coming from one of the practice rooms where two boys were sitting around a grand piano. They were playing a duet. I was drawn to the room. And as I stood listening, I did so in amazement as they played a piece of music that I could only have dreamt of being able to play. The piece was performed with amazing accuracy, and the sound that was filling the room transported me away from the rather small and musky-smelling practice room into an imaginary concert hall. As I focused on each phrase and as they were interweaving with the parts that they were playing on the piano. Needless to say, I was really disappointed when their performance came to an end and the music drifted into silence and 1,000 questions came to my mind. I encouraged them, saying how amazing their performance was, and I asked how long they'd been playing and which other pieces that they knew. And I asked if they were planning on going to music college to study music at university. And then I was stopped dead in my tracks, because the answer that they gave, I heard in my eyes before they said a single word. Their faces said it all as they looked back at me with expressions of either dismay or disgust. Today, I really couldn't tell you which. And one of them said to me, "Study music. Why would we ever want to study music?" The boys had obviously, with their parents, invested hugely in the talents that they had and they'd been entrusted with and that they'd grown in. But my heart absolutely sank as I reflected, with all that they'd been entrusted with, what gain would it actually be to society for them, as their talents would be buried or hidden? Now, I don't know about you, but if you've played an instrument, when you have kids, it sort of changes a bit. The time you have to do those things disappears, doesn't it? And the reality is that as much as we might gain those talents ourselves, they do tend to just fall away. In the parable we heard, Jesus tells a story about God and the charge he gives us to nurture the talents and gifts that we've been entrusted with. The great thing about our talents and gifts is that this can be looked at so many different levels. Now, talents are gifts given by God freely and in grace for us to use, not because we're deserving of them or entitled to them, but they are entrusted to us to make the most out of. Talents of faith, all in different measures, gifts, as Paul mentions to his friends in Ephesus, apostles, some teachers, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, building up of the body of Christ. If you've invited Jesus into your life, God has entrusted you with the gift of faith. He's planted that in your heart. Gifts of hospitality, we see that in gatherings and life groups, meals and refreshments and cakes that we see. But not only limit to that, but also welcome and being welcoming, which are extended to all those that we meet. Musical talents, as we're led in worship together. Financial assets, people who are blessed with additional assets that they can use, both in things and money. The talent of flower arranging, listening, serving, teaching in life groups, etc. Talents of administration and bringing ministry together. Now, of course, that's just a few talents or gifts, but actually many more are not so visible. Maybe God has given you a talent for repairing cars, or maybe discerning an eye for finance, or a heart for the environment, or maybe a gift to intercede in prayer and do gardening. Whatever it is, the possibility is endless and is only limited by, as we saw earlier, our willingness to accept the gift and, here's the crunch, to offer it back to God for his service. Everything we have comes from God rather than being given to us. It is entrusted to us. But it's easy to bury what we're entrusted with in the ground and lose those talents, just leave them. But maybe you don't think that you deserve the talent that you've been given. God's grace is amazing. Maybe we think that we don't deserve God's grace. Maybe we think that those gifts or talents will be rejected by others, undervalued. Maybe we think they'll be mocked. It might be that people have taken advantage of you with your gifts and talents. Maybe even robbed you of them. Maybe we're shy. Perhaps the business of life gets in the way. Or friends and family resent us giving those gifts to God or to others. Or even spending time with them. We may even be so scared of God's judgment that we don't use them. So the answer is bury it. Put it out of sight. We're always safe because we might need it later, but at the moment it's out of sight. See, in the parable, the servant's misinterpretation of the master produced mistrust and fear. And that led to an unwillingness to go and serve in love. If things are getting in the way, Jesus wants to free you of those things. He wants to free you of those burdens that cause you to feel that you need to bury your gifts and talents. He wants to loose the chains that have held you back and set you free. On behalf of the church, I'm really sorry if your gifts have been left and not recognized, or if you've been hurt in any way over the years, or if you feel that your offering hasn't been valued. It's also possible that you may have been shoehorned into doing things that you don't feel are your giftings, that you feel that you're valued only for your gift, or that your gifts have been passed over or remained unrecognized. Maybe you've been waiting, but you haven't been asked to share your gift. And if that's the case, please, please forgive us and know that you are valued, not primarily because of your gift, but for who you are. Jesus told the man who buried his talent, "You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest." Of course, investing in a gift or talent with the bank would at least have grown in interest. It's better, however, to do something rather than bury or waste the opportunities that we have with our talents. Now, not everybody has been entrusted with the same amount, but Jesus calls us to be faithful with what we're given. The investment of our talents helps the Lord to grow his kingdom. And what's mind-blowing is that we don't affect the growth of the investment. It's God who does that. So we can't take the credit. God's grace entrusts us with the gift, and then when we faithfully invest that gift, and we invest it in the right way, God will bring about the growth. Now, while investing in the bank would add interest to the gift, proactively investing our gifts into furthering the kingdom will be so much more fruitful. In everything we do, every choice we make, Jesus calls us to invest in his kingdom. And that, friends, will pay massive, massive dividends. Huge interest, not only now in seeing people come to know Jesus, but also for our forever lives with God. It's not about how much we have, it's about how we use what we're entrusted with. Do we use what we have to invest in God's kingdom? Our talents, both in time and things we have, if we bury what's entrusted to us, we effectively separate ourselves from the joy of witnessing God at work in the world, seeing God's kingdom come in the here and the now. Using and sharing all that is entrusted to us shows accountability before God and a trust in God to provide for us when we spend our lives on him. And that might be especially hard at the moment to hear, because we're living at the moment, aren't we, in a world which doesn't see much hope. We're living in a country at the moment, the word of interest rates, if I hear it again, is just driving me mad. I'm not wanting to watch the news now because I don't know what or where it will go next. And for so many people, that is the end. That is as far as it goes. Their hope is in this life, this moment. But the fantastic news about Jesus is this, that even though we see that there is a lot to be concerned about in our world, we have a hope that the Lord has planted in our hearts that we can share, that we'll never be taken away by any economy, any situation in the world. And that hope and those talents and those gifts that God has given us to use, that we're entrusted with, when we use those to his glory, will bring hope and life not only to us, but also to those that don't know him. I don't know about you, but there are so many people that I meet that don't know Jesus. And I just pray that the Lord would help me to know what he wants me to do, if anything, to help them. But I also know I'm part of the church. And it could be that they ask Andrew to do it, or Sarah to do it. Or it might be that something that somebody else does will help to bless somebody else. Making our talents available to and for the church obviously is so important. Jesus will make clear that taking an active role investing in the kingdom growth is important too. And to that end, thank you so much to everybody who gives so sacrificially, both in time and in gifts. What we give, both in time, money, and those giftings, is so important to help the whole church use all of the gifts to make Jesus known. And so let's continue to ask ourselves, does God have the first fruits of the gifts that we are entrusted with? If you want to find out any more about volunteering or giving financially or any of those areas, then please do take a look at the displays that are around from Ice Cream Sunday and all those people who were around on those stalls or other people would love to have a chat about those things. But please don't think that just because you haven't been asked, you are not welcome to join in. And the finance table is at the back as usual. But in all of that I've said, let's give thanks for God's grace and kindness as we serve him with all that we have and all that we are. And let's know the truth in the words that Jesus said. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." That's what the Lord wants us to do. He doesn't want us to come at this from a point of being, feeling that we are squashed down, that we're beaten down, that we have to do it, that we need to feel guilty about what we do or what we don't give. No, that's what the enemy would have us do. He would have us feel, oh, we're not giving enough, we're not doing that. But actually, we need to know the difference between when we're being accused and when God is bringing us challenge. And God does bring us challenge, but it's challenge that brings us into renewed life with Jesus. And so I just encourage us for one moment to just together, just close our eyes and to listen to the Lord. Lord, may my words decrease and your love increase. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. I think some of you may want to hear those words spoken over you, to you directly. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Is that happiness something that you know in your heart? Just name that with the Lord. Just encourage you to be open and to just to tell him if there are areas that you find difficult of your life, to open out to him. If there have been hurts before where maybe you've wanted to do something and your parents have said no to you, and so you've had a gift that's been buried, just bring that before the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you help us wherever we are to be closer with you when we invite you to, that your Spirit makes a way. We thank you that amongst us we have all of the talents and gifts that you have given to us to entrust with us. And we pray that you would, I'm going to pray something very specific now. Release us, Lord. We don't want you to release the gifts. We want you to release us. It's not about the gift. We know it's about the way that we give it. We know it's the heart with which it's given that's important to you, Lord. And we pray that you would transform our hearts more and more. Give us hearts of flesh that would yearn to see your kingdom come, to see your kingdom grown, to see lives transformed, to see hope in this world where there is so little. And we thank you for the places that you are calling us next week, where we can use those gifts, because it's not just about the expression of what we do in this building, because we're still your church when we go to the communities we serve next week. And so, Lord, give us some tangible way of seeing where you're at work this week, and give us boldness to step forwards. Grow the gifts, the talents that you need for us in this next season, ones that we maybe haven't even imagined that we have. And help us, Lord, to serve you in joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you made that prayer your own, if you prayed a different prayer, that's equally valid. If the Lord placed something on your hearts, hold on to it. That is a gift. And pray into it. Hold on to it, pray into it, and keep your eyes open for where he may lead you with it. And explore it. If there are things that you question you've gotten and things that don't quite seem to fit and work at the moment, then prayer is a great thing, and I'd encourage you to come and pray with me or with others. There are loads here that would love to do it, with those that you trust. Just pray with them. Just pray. Ask them to pray next week at a time when you know that you feel that God might just be saying something might happen if that's the case. But expect the unexpected. And let's give those gifts joyfully, praising the Lord.